started. We're live right now on Facebook and on YouTube. If you'd like to watch and drop your comment with us on this platform, feel free to do that. Just search for Nigeria Info 99.3. You can watch myself and Jimmy Disu on your screen. Let's start with the Punch newspaper. This morning, the Punch on page 7 has these really interesting stories. Mob burns Ogun Market, Seriki's house. That's on page 7. Also on page 7, there could be 10,000 Sunday Igbohos. Bakari wants. Now, if you go to the Vanguard, page 10 of the Vanguard, similar story here. Don't set Southwest on fire. Nans tells Igboho.
Thank you very much, Sheriff. So let's take the stories one by one, okay? And we'll just run through them as quickly as we can. Now, the first story here says that a mob burnt the Ogun Market and the Seriki's house. Let me read it for you. It says, a mob has set ablaze the Kara Market as well as the house of Seriki Fulani in Egua, Yewa, North Local Government Area of Ogun State, identified as Alhaji Adam. One person was reportedly burned to death during the violence after the visit of a Yoruba rights activist Sunday Igboho when he visited Ogun State. Our correspondent who visited the scene observed that many residents stayed indoors for fear of possible reprisals. This, ladies and gentlemen, is an extremely dangerous development. This reminds me of the way I felt in 67, I was in secondary school, when it appeared as if the government, then they called it a police action, as if the police had been sent to go and arrest Ojukwu. And little did some of us who were very naive and young then know that we were in for a civil war. This development is very dangerous. Some of the things that would occur to you or that occurred to me is that, did Sunday Igboho have a hand in this? Is somebody trying to set Sunday Igboho up because when he visited yesterday so that it can be ascribed to him? Remember that on whatever side of the divide that you are, a death took place, which is tantamount to murder or at the very least manslaughter. That is on record. And I think we all need to be extremely careful. I'll never be tired of saying that. I am surprised that, you know, you don't get a sense of the federal government wading in fully with its full might and taking control of this situation. Neither did I get a sense yesterday that the Ogun State government, led by the governor, actually knows the implications of all these things. Let me be very honest with you. I tend to believe that the Ogun State governor is inexperienced in administration. There are so many examples one can give. And that is coming home to bear here. And I'd like to call on the likes of Chief Segun Oshoba, Gbenga Daniel, who've been governors before, elders of the land, Adebanjo, to quickly move in and make sure that Ogun State doesn't become a battleground. For all it's worth, the Lagos State governor himself might like to put a call through to Abiodun, just like I recommended during when this problem started, COVID. His inexperience always comes to bear at times like this, and I think he needs all the help that he can. Luckily, a citizen of that state, Bakare, has warned that there could be 10,000 Sunday Igbohos. What he means is that if we all don't get up now, if we all don't get up now and find a solution to these problems, we might have so many, Captain Blade described yesterday, warlords springing up in various parts of the country. Remember, there is no exclusivity to what Sunday Igboho is doing. And there is no monopoly. Ghani Adams did it, now we have Sunday Igboho. The question is, who else is going to show up? Is that the kind of country we want to live in? A country of confusion and warlords? We are gradually edging either to a civil war situation or a guerrilla war situation where for you to move from state to state, you'll be settling warlords along the way. Nigeria is fast falling apart and somebody needs to wake up the president. to take hold of this situation. Sheriff, I wonder if you think this is the way somebody more experienced and more assertive like Obasanjo would have handled this situation. The question you ask, there's Rotimi Fason. He writes an article in the Vanguard, and we'll get there. And he says that the president seems to be his own enemy. I think he was being polite. We now need to start asking questions about the ability of the president to lead this state, because we can't continue like this. We can't continue like this. A simple thing as the appointment of an inspector general, when we get to that story, we are handling it. It is said that the inspector general went to the office yesterday, not knowing where he stood. He's waiting for the president. And then the third story, God bless these children of ours. You see, sometimes you need to let the youth. It is the NANS, Nigerian Association of Nigerian Students, that have given the warning that our elders refuse to give in public. Most of our elders, especially in the South, are hypocrites. They are hypocrites. They fear so much for their lives and for their well-being. They will say one thing in the corner and another. And what the students say, kids, young people, they say that the student's body made the call while addressing newsmen in Abeokuta. And they said that the call became imperative to avoid the major crisis in the country. Which of our traditional rulers has said something like this? Which of them? Which of them? And the chairman of NANS Ogun Joint Campus Committee, God bless him, JCC Kendi Simeon, called on the state government to consider registration of all herdsmen within the borders of Ogun State, ban open grazing, and so on and so forth. So even the students, our kids, are worried. Okay, so remember all the things that I said. We need to help that Ogun State governor. He has shown quite a lot of immaturity and whatever in handling affairs of the state.
Indeed. Now, let's move on to page 32 of the Punch newspaper. MC Oluoma's book about his life, not 2023 politics. MC Oluoma's book about his life, not 2023 politics.
I congratulate the young gentleman about putting pen to paper to write about his life. I hope it will be an inspiration to those, the much younger ones. And there's this fear that, that he might be thinking, the fear had been said so many times in the past, in the recent past, that he might be thinking of, is his right? And it's our right to now decide whether we want him or not. But his spokesperson said, the book is not ready, but should be launched around March when his birthday will be held. And he says the book is just about his experiences, and it is certainly not about 2023 politics. Then he adds, there have been rumors about his intention to contest, but right now, he has no ambition. This is a spokesman, so he knows his choice of words. He didn't say he has no such ambition. He says, but for now, he has no such ambition. And that should lighten us to what we might be facing ahead. And like I said, it's within his rights. He's open to all. People have also said that Ugboho might have political ambitions. But if some of the statements coming from him, like saying, for example, that he visited Ashiwaju Tinubu and he gave him 2 million for Owepo for fuel money, then that gives you an indication of what kind of government you'll be looking at. We need to be careful and stop being emotional about these things and look at things straight in there. Like Blade said yesterday, who is going to foot the bill of all these movements? We haven't thought of that yet. When we get to that bridge, I hope we'll be able to cross it.
I hope so. I really do hope so. Vanguard here on page 5, eviction, protect Fulani in the South, NEF tells Buhari governors. Riders says no politician has rights to outsource security to local thugs and gangs. Act now before situation degenerates. Bashir Tofa, how Ondo or your others can manage herders crisis? Benue deputy governor is talking there. Bandits invade Niger communities, kill 21, kidnap 40. Air Force helicopter drafted to communities, injured rushed to hospital. Six masked bandits to in black kill locals in Kaduna community. Header settlement attacked in Zangumkata Qataf reprisal?
I heard some people say yesterday, for example, that, oh, Jimmy, this is raising an alarm, and so on and so forth, and I felt so sorry for them. It appears that some people don't have a sense of where this country is going. And the question is, how ready are you for the consequences of all these actions? One more time, I'm going to appeal to the federal authorities to do something very, very quickly to stem the tide of confusion that is coming to this country. It's not a false alarm. If you are too young to know, well, it's a pity. It is not a force like them. This is how we inch slowly but surely into civil war way back in 67. And I do not think Nigeria can survive another of that episode. In this case, God forbid, there will be no fixed battleground. I can assure you, what you're going to have is warlords. There'll be total confusion. And I think that we need to sensitize our leadership to that fact and get them to act very, very quickly in the interest of all. Now, I'm not holding brief for anybody. The blame can go back and forth. Yes, we need to protect ourselves. I know all these things, and I don't deny them. But again, in doing these things, we need to be careful that in solving one problem, we don't create a much bigger problem.
Indeed. I'm going to stay with the Vanguard. 150 billion naira, not 400 billion naira needed for COVID-19 vaccines. Peter Obi offers to help negotiate supply. In this story, commenting on the issue when he featured on Arise TV yesterday, Obi said there are issues of transparency regarding the procurement of vaccines. The ex-governor said Nigeria would not have needed to spend so much in procuring vaccines if its national vaccine production facility was operational.
I sent this to my doctor friend yesterday, and he just gave me a one-sentence reaction. He said, Jimmy, how do you manage to stay sane in that environment? Because we play politics with everything. Corrupt practices also show up. Now, what Obi did, which I will look at critically at 9 o'clock. We're going to look at it critically. I know dear Bomi today. What Obi did is to do a thorough analysis, thank God for him, that shows that rather than the 400 billion that was budgeted for vaccines, you see, the issue of vaccines is out there in the open. It's not hidden. It's not hidden.
Right.
And he did an analysis to show that what you actually need
right
to buy vaccines, to purchase vaccines, is 150 billion, not 400. So the question is, where did the balance... Wait, Sheriff, you're very good at that. That's why they didn't take me in the Gobi. I couldn't pass it. If you take 150 from 400, what does it give you?
250.
So where did the... that's more than double. Where did the extra 250 come from?
Almost.
You know, and he has offered to negotiate supply. He didn't say he has offered to supply.
Right.
He has offered to negotiate supply. And this is, we are going to go through what he said word by word and do a thorough analysis. It doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise Sheriff, or does it surprise you?
No, I'm not surprised. That if
we corruption emerges in the tiniest of things. Some people have become billionaires locally here in Nigeria through this COVID whatever. And maybe it is this cynicism that is affecting people's belief that COVID is real. Because some people still believe that COVID is some kind of conspiracy, and some people just want to make money and so on and so forth.
Right.
So we will examine it critically. Don't go anywhere. At 9 o'clock, we'll examine it critically, what Obi said, and then we'll get your opinion on that.
Indeed. Now, the editorial you mentioned, not editorial really.
It's an article.
An article. The Buhari government is its worst, is its own worst enemy. It's right here.
This is, I don't know Rotimi Fason. The Fasons are my in-law, but I don't know Rotimi Fason. But what he has written here is fantastic. And he says, Buhari government is his own worst enemy. He argues that it would look like there is nothing the Buhari government or the president himself does that will satisfy his critics. But while I would not deny their opponents like that who would never be satisfied with what the president does, no matter the merit of his actions, I am also inclined to think that the president is most times the cause of his own troubles, given his preference. You see how the president is perceived? Given his preference to the thing as where is it now? To sit as if on his palms, watching as things rot before him. His failure to do the right thing at the right time is a malady he must overcome if he wants to be treated differently by Nigerians, especially opponents, whom he provides fodder for their canon of criticism. Take as example the recent age of service chiefs who have long outlived their usefulness and welcome, exhausted men long overdue for retirement, and so on and so forth. And he also makes a point that has leading by example gone out of fashion? And he gives many instances in which both the president and some of his top officials have done things, you know, not leading by example. I think it is something, it is an article that you want to read. I think it is written in good faith. The language is good. It's not insulting, not anything. And I think that, look, whether we like it or not, what I think probably is maybe to change strategy and leave. This gentleman is stuck in his ways. He's stuck in his ways. And we must find, but you see, the consequences are becoming very dire.
Right.
I heard, saw somewhere in the social media where it said that Obasanjo has written yet another letter. I don't think a letter will suffice now. Maybe Obasanjo should bulldoze his way into Aso Rock.
That's not going to happen.
He can't bulldoze.
No, he can't. But he can't.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
Let's take this comment.
Like my people will say, it's all right.
It's all right. Let's take this comment from Twitter. This person, Adekoya Ayodele, says, he's talking about the Igbo thing. He said, this is a new generation. We are not in 60s or 70s. Let youths deal with the issues of Fulani herdsmen their way. Okay.
So, but what's the import of what he has said? Is something stuck in your throat or whatever?
No. I don't know his mind. So that's what he put there.
I'm trying to get a feeling of what is he saying, that what the youth said is wrong or right? I don't understand.
He's probably saying that what the youth are doing now is their way of handling the herders, farmers crisis.
Which youth is he talking about? Not the man.
The ones burning.
Oh, I see. Well, look, it's difficult to actually draw a balance here, to be honest with you, because if the government has not been up to its responsibility, you don't expect people to fold their arms. But in reacting, you see, I always like to look at things from a very broad perspective. Do you understand what I'm saying? You want to kill a fire, you want to make sure that the water you're using doesn't have kerosene or petrol. Okay, now there's a dead body in the detail now. Who's going to take responsibility for that? Should the laws of the land want to be applied now, somebody's going to be a fall guy for all this. So I think that, yes, the youths have their own way, but at the end of the day, you must be careful that your own way doesn't get you into trouble.
Right, indeed. Let's take this headline from Vanguard newspaper. Why IGP Adamu cannot leave office? So there's a reason.
This is most disgraceful. I think I did an analysis on this yesterday. But what is being said in the paper here, written by Kingsley Omonobi in Vanguard, his report is disgraceful. And it says that top security sources disclose that, as it was to the service chiefs, any attempt by the Inspector General to vacate his seat when a replacement has not been announced or an exception granted would amount to mutiny against the Commander-in-Chief. So the poor guy is stuck. He doesn't know whether he's in or out. He says, though it is no secret that some persons, including governors, MRs, and certain interests, have been lobbying to have Adamu's tenure extended, the IGP himself is said to be prepared for what Buhari will decide. But since Mr. President has not called him or directed anyone to him with regards to how the status quo should be handled, he has no choice but to wait in the interim. Is that how to run it? You're running a force, for example. You're running a police force. The man doesn't know whether he's in or out. Consequently, IGP Adamu reported dutifully to office at Louis Edet yesterday and carried out his duties, especially with regards to his directive to Zonal Assistant Inspector General of Police and Command Ops relating to COVID-19. Anyway, however, investigations revealed that going by the new police act, which stipulated 5 years tenure for the next IGP, the most senior Southeast officer who would have been in the reckoning for the next IGP, that is DID Joseph Egbunike,
right,
has a few months to retire. So the appointment of the next IGP will be among those who fall in the group of officers and so on and so forth. This last paragraph I want to read, Sharif, is significant. Okay. It says, in the alternative, Buhari might consider the ongoing implementation of the community policing strategy, which was midwifed by IGP Adamu, and give him time to implement the policy. This is pure propaganda. Why do we always personalize things? What is so special about community policing that another
person cannot handle?
I don't understand these things. But this story, this paragraph, this is propaganda.
Yeah.
If I were president, would you be putting that argument to me that, sir, we need to give him time because...
Yeah. Apparently, if the IGP is working on anything, he's not the only person working on it. His subordinates, the next in line, the next in command, is there, aware of whatever it is the IGP is doing.
Well, so that is the norm.
It can't just be that the IGP is the only one aware of the process. Well,
that is the norm. You don't know whether the man carries the file around.
It's not. It's impossible. It's just impossible. It's absolutely impossible to do
you
that.
You see, again, like my friend said yesterday, when you do things like this, you tend to even ridicule the man in office.
Yeah, exactly.
He would have been honorable on his last day. The day you join the police force is like in prison. The day you go to prison, the date you are going to be freed is there. The man would have known the day he was going to be let off, and would be looking forward to donning his number one uniform and being driven out. He can go and have a well-deserved rest. But now he's neither here nor there, and that is a reflection of how this country is.
What do you think will happen if he stays in office longer than usual?
Nothing will happen. It's Nigeria. Nothing will happen. It could be like this for the next 1 year. What would then happen for sure is that he will, most likely, those under him will not fully cooperate with him. Right. And in any case, when you are hanging in the balance like that, then you start to think of your own personal agenda.
How do you think he's performed?
The IG, like all other IGs.
What does that mean?
We still have a bad police force. It's not his fault.
Right.
It is unfair to judge any IG, to be honest with you, because the system that is set up is non-functional. And it's fraught with all kinds of, you know, that can never make you succeed to run a very good police. I saw one very, very interesting interview with Arase, former IG.
Yeah.
Extremely interesting interview. And I said to myself, if this guy was this bright, how come he couldn't apply all these things? The system wouldn't allow him. So I think it is unfair to ask me how he performed.
Okay.
Because there's been no performance on, of optimum performance on the Nigerian police right from the days of, right from the 60s. Well, maybe it's the Kamselems and the whatever. You know, maybe we still had, not long after independence, we still had some semblance of a police force. But after that, but I think the greatest elephant in the room in policing have been Tafaba Logun. And I'm not talking about his size.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm aware. What's coming out at 9? There's no Dear Bumi today.
There's no Dear Bumi today.
Okay.
What we're going to do is to look at what critically at what Obi is saying.
Fantastic.
Let us see if we can apply pressure.
Do you think he's probably just playing to the gallery?
I don't think so.
I
well, even if he's playing to the gallery,
yeah,
he's been given enough ammunition to do so. That's a very safe sentence that I just constructed.
Ammunition? How? Who gave him that? What is the ammunition?
Listen. Read the analysis. Have you read it?
No, I have not.
Wait till 9 o'clock now. Don't jump the gun.
Okay.
The issue of
because you know why it's safe not to conclude that he's been given ammunition. It could just be that he's playing to the gallery, like every other Nigerian politician does when they see an opportunity to do that.
Yes. But rather than look at Obi or whether he's playing to the gallery, I want to look at the content of what he's saying.
Okay.
And you and I know when it comes to corruption.
Okay. We have to go now. Jimmy will be back at 9 o'clock on Daily Digest. We'll be streaming live at the time as well. Now, let's talk about, in this direction, let's talk about Nigeria and the seemingly state of leadership crisis that we've been in for quite some time now. Toyo Shobande joins me in a moment in the studio. Stay here. Many thanks to our sponsors, MTN Nigeria, for bankrolling this particular show, dailies today. We're back tomorrow at 7:30 for another edition.
Won't you thank me too?
No way.
Ah.
No way.
Hey, I just knew.
Hello, this is a public service announcement to our dear customers that don't have NIN or are yet to link their NIN to their MTN line.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.